Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless.
I said, "What do you mean? Was he not saying your name?" And he said, "No, he was saying things like this. Hey, liar, come this way. Hey, thief, come this way." And he said, "I did not want to answer to that."
Right.
And he was holding on to, the reason I'm like that is because I didn't have any clothes. The reason I've done those things is because I didn't have any father growing up. But finally he said, when I realized that that's exactly what I was, that's who I was on the inside. When I began to say yes to what God called me, it was as if God's voice got louder. He was coming closer to me. When he would call me a liar, he'd say, "Yeah, God, you're right. I've told a lot of lies." When he called me a thief, he'd say, "Yes, God, I've stole a lot of stuff. He said, I stole those watermelons, Lord. I wasn't supposed to steal." He said, "I'm guilty, Lord. It's me. I'm the one." He said, and God kept getting closer and closer to where he was at. Preacher said, God just showed up and said, this is the way out. He said, "Preacher, remember how you was preaching about Jesus being crucified?" I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "Remember how you would always say those Roman soldiers took that whip and beat on Jesus?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's how it was." He said, "It was like God was making a trail."
Amen.
I said, "He made it all the way to where I was standing in that darkness. And he said, Bonnie, this is the way out." And he said, I don't know what all I did. He said, but it was like I just wanted to open my heart up to Jesus. I already confessed that everything God said I was. I said, "God, this is who I really am. This, I'm not trying to hide anything from you, Lord." And he said, from that moment, he said, I knew I was walking on God's trail. He said, "Preacher, it wasn't so much that I started walking on this trail. It was that God came and found me and put me on his trail."
Amen. 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 Amen.
Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us.
Amen.
But God commended his love toward us, and that while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
It's the goodness of God that leadeth man to repentance. Amen. There is a repentance that needeth not to be repented of. Wani Marubu found the grace of God. God saved this young man. Born again by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Later, we come together and he was so on fire for God, we was able to translate several different pieces of books that they was able to use in advancing the gospel. He would come and stay with me for 3 or 4 months, go back to the village. Come stay with me, go back to the village. Come stay with me. Go back to the village. Just went on for months and months and months and months. And years out. I mean, it went on for a span of time. And one day I was curious. I said, "What's going on upriver?" I said, "I want to know what the village looks like. It's in an area where I couldn't go. It was a restricted area." And I said, "I'm going to give you my camera. Show them how it works." I was curious about two things. Number one, I was curious about what the Indians thought would be photo worthy. And then I wanted to see what the village looked like. So I set my camera with Wani. Now what I do want to tell you before I tell you that is this. What I learned later, I'm talking years and years and years after the fact, was that the Maru people have a belief system. They believe that their life, that there's two trails to walk on. A good trail and a bad trail. Mm-hmm. You walk on the bad trail, you drink too much strong drink, you beat your wife, you steal, you're mean to your neighbors, you beat your kids. That's the bad trail. The good trail is that they're good to their neighbors. They catch 3 fish, I give my neighbor one. I'm gonna treat my wife with respect. I'm gonna help her. Help her out. I'm gonna teach my kids how to hunt, how to fish, and I'm gonna raise them right. They're walking on the good trail. He said, "Preacher," he said, "what I had to realize was that the Marubu," they said, "their good trail was never going to be good enough." And he said, "our good trail," and God, it was a pivotal point for him, but God showed him that truth in the story of Cain and Abel. Cain had his fruits, his vegetables, his beets, his very best, and said, "God, here's what I've got for you." And God had no respect to that sacrifice, that offering. Abel, on the other hand, was putting his confidence not on what he could produce, but what the land would produce in his stead. And God had respect for that offering. So, one, he said, our people don't have a trail that gets to God. But God has a trail, and he wants the Marubus to walk on it. And so he had brought me back those pictures after a three months time away. And it begins to show me the pictures. We put them on the computer. We're going through. I said, "Okay, I'll navigate the picture, the slides, and you tell me what's what." Okay. So we're going through the pictures, and he said, "All right, this is the port where all the canoes are parked. This is the hut. This is the big malacca. This is an animal we killed. This is the church. This is my mama. This is the oldest lady in the village." And I'm like, whoa, what do you mean the church? So we go back two or three slides, and there's a picture of about seven people standing there. And he said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "They're also walking on God's trail." And I said, "Why?" I said, "Well, what do you mean they're walking on God's trail?" I said, "Well, so you know how I come down here and I stay with you for 3 or 4 months and I go back to the village?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well," he said, I just go back and tell them everything I've learned down here with you."
Amen.
And I was blown away.
Amen.
Blown away. I mean, at that point, I bowed my head and I said, "God, you're doing something so big that I can't even comprehend it, Lord." My mind immediately went to the book of Colossians, where Paul says in chapter 1, he says, thank you, buddy. He says in verse 7, he says, "As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister." And so what a blessing that Paul, in the Word of God, never per se visited Colossae. Never one time went there,
right.
But yet he has an epistle written to them,
right,
based on a ministry he had in Ephesus, where this young man Epaphras was one of his disciples who he had discipled and preached to, and God had saved him. He went back to his hometown of Colossae, and God used him to do an amazing work. Well, what's amazing is Paul learns about this while he's in a prison cell. This is another message, but I'll just give it to you. It's really good. He learns about this while he's in a prison cell, chained up to a man named Onesimus. Onesimus is a citizen of Colossae. And he tells Paul about the church that they have in their house. Well, so now then, Paul writes back and is just overwhelmed to learn about what God done during a time of suffering. Another example from this morning, during a time of heartache, a time of trouble that he faced while in Ephesus, that God done in a great work. God saved that encouraging news years and years and years later while he's in a Roman prison cell. God brings that truth to light to him. And can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine him saying, "Hey, let's get my pen and paper back out. Let's write one more letter. Let's write some more epistles and encourage the brethren."
Amen.
I appreciate the Lord doing things behind the scenes when there's times that we don't think he's doing anything. So that when there are times of more discouragement and more darkness, he brings back to light what he's been doing the entire time. Ain't that a blessing?
Yes. Amen.
God had been working in this village in such a way there were already believers there. Well, I was amazed at the truth that God was putting in Wani's heart was that the church was not a building. The church was not four walls and a roof.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Church was the body of Christ.
Amen.
And he said, so what a blessing to know that these folks wasn't just some of that belonged to the church, that was raised in the church. No, they were part of the church. There was Amen. The body of Christ, saved Amen. By the grace of God.
Amen.
And God had clearly begun to do a work in their heart. Well, I began to really hone in on teachings that would help prepare this young man to pastor that flock, to lead them, and to preach the gospel. And I'm glad that there is a repentance. For the Bible says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death."
Amen.
Worldly sorrow is when something happens, and maybe a divorce, or maybe a car accident, and folks, or maybe in a hospital, and they come running to God, and they're sorry because of the accident. They're sorry because of the divorce. They're sorry because of what's happened. And they say, "God, Lord, I'm sorry that all this took place, and Lord, fix it all, and I'll serve you." But God don't work that way. You'll have to come on His terms, not on your terms.
Right.
And but I'm grateful that there is a godly sorrow.
Amen.
Which worketh, we was talking last night, worketh repentance. What God works in a man is what Saul was struggling with on Damascus Road. He is trying to kick against what God is pointing him to. And I'm glad that the Word of God, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, I believe it is in verse number 4, chapter 4, verse number 10, where it says the Word of God is quick and powerful and more sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing and discerning the thoughts and intents of our heart. The Word of God is quicker. So now then, all the times that Wani heard the Word of God preached, he would try to put up his defense. He'll try to put it up as quick as he could, but the Word of God is quicker.
That's right.
He would try to he would try to go back to that what he had stored away in the back corridor of his heart and say, "Well, no one knows about this," but through the Word of God, the preaching, God would bring it back up, and he would try to defend it. But his best defense was never fast enough for the Word of God.
Amen.
Pierced him and was able to divide it and discern it and bring it into light and show that individual, show Wani, this is a lie. And if you believe this, you're going to hell. What an amazing thing is as we see in John chapter 3. And I'm going to close with this. John chapter 3 says this. It says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved."
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina, 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.